RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews Black Panther, now playing in area theaters.
The buzz and anticipation behind Black Panther is deafening. The clamor for tickets and the social media chatter seem to eclipse even the tentpole movies which bring all the Avengers together in the same film, let alone for a solo story featuring a relatively minor character in the Marvel Universe. It's not because Black Panther is merely a black superhero. There have been a few of those before. Think Blade, Catwoman, and even Will Smith's Hancock. It has to do with culture, awareness, and scope. Black Panther features an almost exclusively black cast, and the main character is born and raised in Africa. He is a king with responsibilities and the weight of a country on his shoulders. No, Black Panther is not the first black superhero, but he is the most earnest and respected. Chadwick Boseman as King T'Challa, aka Black Panther, isn't even the first of the Marvel black superheroes. That is Don Cheadle as War Machine and Anthony Mackie as Falcon. Unlike those two, T'Challa is not a sidekick. He is front and center and in just about every scene. For a comic book character who has been around since the 60s, it feels historic. He is a king and a protector, not a good buddy who gets to put on a spare Iron Man suit or a gimmicky pair of wings. Yet Black Panther endured years of obscurity. His solo story hits the big screen after the likes of Thor, Captain America, and even Ant-Man got their shot. Other than his bona fide African roots, what separates T'Challa from the pack is he is a leader with empathy and a heart for justice. Folks may argue these traits also define Steve Rogers as Captain America, but T'Challa was born to be a king. Steve was injected with a "You're strong now" serum. T'Challa didn't build himself with technology, didn't accidentally expose himself to radiation, and is not as campy as that other sort of king, Thor. Even when Thor's homeworld of Asgard is threatened with annihilation, he still has time for a pun or a one-liner. T'Challa comes off more grounded and focused. A big reason for that are the story's major themes. Beginning in 1992 Oakland, writer-director Ryan Coogler shows us the projects and references how the crack epidemic is ripping apart entire cities. What if the shoe were on the other foot for once? What if the historically oppressed had access to technology and weapons no other government or paramilitary force on Earth had? The victims could rewrite the script and flip the world order. These are weighty ideas for the Marvel Universe, which usually sticks to some sort of maniacal villain focused on world domination. T'Challa's nemesis, the ludicrously named Eric Killmonger, played by Michael B. Jordan, calls it vengeance for the oppressed. T'Challa's kingdom, the hidden city of Wakanda, is a highly advanced civilization on the African continent with technology found nowhere else on Earth. Even the most leading-edge concepts of the Americans, Russians, and Chinese would be cute to the Wakandans. Wakanda has also never been conquered nor colonized. This is because they live in isolation, surrounded by the chaos that is most of the rest of Africa, ruled under the corruption of devious dictators and torn apart by ethnic hatreds. Central tenets of international relations theory are bandied about in the script regarding the pros and cons of isolationism versus activism. If Wakanda took an active role in the world, they could improve the lives of billions and help the planet become a better place. However, they would also open themselves up to the world's problems and become vulnerable like those they currently keep at arm's length. I have seen the eye-rolling responses of people uncomfortable by the idea of Black Panther. They say, "So we can make White Panther next, right?" No. They will have to be content with Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and the million other white heroes. What is wrong with little kids wanting to see someone like them on the IMAX screen? At least someone not in an overlooked supporting role. It was so refreshing to see a 98% black cast with Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis in the roles usually staffed by the minorities, the confused government worker, and the criminally insane hatchet man. Even though Coogler cut his teeth on two very impressive features, Fruitvale Station and Creed, Black Panther is not a perfect superhero film, no matter how historic. There are some annoying plot holes involving Killmonger and his plan to take over Wakanda, and the ensuing mayhem is a bit too reminiscent of Captain America's Civil War, where everyone must choose a side based on all-or-nothing black-and-white choices. Perhaps the most impressive addition component to Black Panther's vibe is the soundtrack album provided by Kendrick Lamar. The film alternates between an experience as fun to listen to as to watch. When Black Panther next appears in Avengers: Infinity War and competes for screen time with lesser entities like Black Widow and Loki, it would feel off-putting to shove such a vibrant character into the also-ran corner to hang out with Doctor Strange while the main collective takes over again. Here's hoping they give King T'Challa room to maneuver. That is why I give Black Panther 3 out of 4 stars.
Black Panther is rated PG-13, now playing at Studio Movie Grill Seminole, Cobb Tyrone Luxury 10, Regal Park Place Stadium 16, Regal Largo Mall 8, AMC Sundial 20 in downtown St. Petersburg, Sunset Point Cinema Bar and Grill, and Cobb Countryside 12 Cinemas. RadioSt.Pete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit CharlieJewell, JUHL.com.